We are going to go into the Word today, and we're going to be reading the entire chapter of 1 Samuel, the first chapter. 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And if we can stand for the reading of God's Word. One thing I do encourage, if you don't have it, it's so important to get it, is your physical Bible. Because this is good. Having your phone is good. Having your phone is convenient. But you can't really devote this to God when you do everything else on here. You get into arguments. We get into contentions on our phone, but we want to dedicate it to God. No, but this physical, this is sacred. It keeps things separate. It puts this line of distinction that, God, I dedicate this word to you, that this word is only for you, only for my discipleship, only for my development. So I'm going to bring my physical word into your house. When I study, I'm going to study out of your physical word. Obviously, there are times when you don't have your physical word available and God sends you a message and you want to quickly get it in on your phone, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with it. But again, you cannot dedicate your electronic device to God and still do other things with your electronic device. Amen. Whatever you dedicate to God is His and His alone. Amen. 1 Samuel, first chapter. I'm reading out of the NIV version. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he will give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. She made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they rose and worshiped before the Lord. then went back to her home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your holy, your righteous, your awesome, your magnanimous, your grand name, O God. There is no one like you. None can compare, O God. And we acknowledge you for who you are. Father, here I am. You have given me an assignment, and I have showed up, O God. Make your presence known in the mighty name of Jesus. Give me clarity of speech, O God. O God, whatever you have put down on the inside of me, bring it back to remembrance, O God. Let it bubble up, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for the edification of your body, O God, for this body in this moment, for this dispensation of time. And I thank you for what you're going to do, oh God. A mighty, mighty, mighty move. A mighty, mighty, mighty shift, oh God. A mighty, 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 mighty correction, oh God. And I bless you, oh God. I bless you. And I glorify your name both now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, you may sit in heavenly places. The title that God has given me, it was many titles, but this one that he really confirmed what there is, the title is, "There is still time." There is still time. Now, we've read this scripture many times, but let me tell you, it is not what you think. It is not what you have always read. When the scripture starts out, it starts out talking about Elkanah. And it mentions that Elkanah is an Ephraimite. But if you read your word, it states in 2 Chronicles that Elkanah is of the tribe of Levi. So it seems like there's a small contradiction, but there is a resolve for this small contradiction because Levi had no tribal inheritance in the land of Canaan. The Lord's dictated that there will be parcels of land in each of the tribal allotments that will be given over to the tribe of Levi. And those were the same sanctuary cities where the individuals can escape the avenger of blood until the year of Jubilee. So it is surmised that even though Elkanah was in Ramah, which was in the land of Ephraimite, he looked the part, he dressed the part, his lineage is that of Levi, specifically that of Kohath. Now, if you read your word, the clan of Kohath of the tribe of Levi, they had a very, very important responsibility. The clan of Kohath was charged with carrying the holy things.
It was the responsibility of the Levites whenever the nation sojourned to another place that they had to carefully wrap up the holy things. So therefore, the clan of Kohath had to have not only devotion of character, they had to be disciplined because they had to carry what they could not look at. They had to carry holy things that they could not put their eyes on. For if they look at the holy things, they were killed. They were the Lord will slay them. It was an edict that they cannot look at the holy things. Only individuals who can look at the holy things were the priest. And even in that, there's a revelation in that that's separate from this text. And the revelation is that we have to be comfortable in the function that God has placed us in. We have to be comfortable in our assignment. Because many of us may not step into the role of priests. Many of us may carry holy things that we cannot put our eyes on. And we have to be comfortable and we have to be okay with that. Understanding that the function that I am operating in is just as important and needed as the priest who is ministering before the Lord. Because the chain is weakest at that one link. Doesn't matter how strong the chain will break if there is a weak link. So therefore, wherever God has placed me, I serve him with all of my strength. I serve him with every skill that I have. I give it my all when I serve him. It doesn't matter if I'm carrying the pastor's things, I'm serving him. It doesn't matter if I'm standing at the door and I'm greeting individuals that's coming in. You know, you may not like it. You may think that there's more in you, but right now your function is there. So you have to be okay with your function, understanding that sometimes your function can change. As you elevate, as you grow, God will reposition you. But he repositions you after he is looking at your heart, looking at a servant's heart. But that's free. That has nothing to do with my message. I just wanted you to have it. So, you know, when I read this message over and over again, you know, many times I read through the Bible. Many times I read through the Bible. I know this passage of scripture. But when God gives me a message and I am fixated on a particular passage or a particular story or historical event, I come to God and the first thing I say to God is that I don't know. The first step to knowledge, the first step to gaining understanding is admitting that you do not know. I don't know everything. I don't want to come to any preconceived notions that may skew the revelation that you're trying to give me. So before anything, I don't know. I don't know God. And because I don't know, I have a couple questions to help me gain a level of understanding, to keep me on the path that you want me to stay on so I can reach the point of revelation. So the first thing that comes to mind is, Peninnah, why are you here? Why are you here, Peninnah? Peninnah, you seem to be doing an awful lot. You know, you run in your mouth just an awful lot, Peninnah. Why are you here in this mix? Because you seem to be the problem. When Hannah is weeping, when Hannah is bitter, when Hannah is anguished in the soul, it seems to me that all arrows point back to you, Peninnah, or Peninnah, however you want to say. I may switch back and forth, but we know who she is. So it states that he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And in an agrarian culture, and agrarian means agriculture or the cultivation of land, it was necessary to have multiple wives. Now, a polyamorous relationship in that dispensation of time was condoned. It was promoted. And it was promoted for strategic purposes. One, because it maintains the lineage of the house. The more sons, the more daughters that I have, that means that my house will live on. It maintains tribal allotment. Because if I have no descendants that will inherit my land, then that means I'm relying on a kinsman redeemer. And if they do not want to redeem the land, then goes to the Levites. But it was also to maintain a level of livelihood. Because the more sons that I have, the more daughters that I have, the more hands that I have to go into the field, the more hands that I have to plant, the more hands that I have to reap the harvest. And the more harvest that I reap, that means the more I could put into my storehouse, the more I can sell to therefore reap money so I can hire more servants to repeat the process and continue to grow. So it's like, okay, I see why Peninnah is here. Peninnah, you was needed because Hannah was barren. The Lord had closed up Hannah's womb. Okay, cool. We're going to put Peninnah on the shelf. Next question was, Hannah, why are you barren? Why are you barren, Hannah? Why are you barren in the land that the Lord said you shall serve him? And he shall bless your bread and your water, and he will take away your sickness from the midst of you. And there should be no young or no barren in the land. Why are you barren when the word has already went forth? Why are you barren? And if you research in your word, it speaks of individuals who are barren, but it only speaks of one instance that speaks of how barrenness comes about. So, Hannah, why are you barren? You are married into a clan who at its foundational level has to have the ability to carry. Hannah, you're not carrying. Why are you barren? The Lord led me to Numbers 5, the 27th chapter. It states that if she had made herself impure and been unfaithful to her husband, this will be the result. When she is made to drink the water that brings a curse and causes bitter suffering, it will enter her. Her abdomen will swell and her womb will miscarry and she will become a curse. If, however, the woman has not made herself impure but is clean, she will be cleared of the guilt and will be able to have children. It goes on for Isaiah 54 and 5. It says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, and he is called the God of all the earth. So, Hannah, it seems at some point there was a shift in your heart. It seems to me at some point your posture changed. It seems at some point there was some dynamic shift to the point where your husband, your maker, closed your womb. In the New King James Version, it states that the Lord shut up her womb. The Hebrew word for shut up is sagar, which means to close, deliver over. It means to shut up, but it also means to give over. So now things are coming into full clarity for me as I look at this text. Because as I always thought that Peninnah was the issue, that Peninnah was the problem, in researching and in revelation from God, now I'm seeing that Hannah is the problem. I am seeing that the Lord gave over her womb to Peninnah. For Peninnah had the children, but Hannah didn't have the children. And Peninnah's presence provoked Hannah. It irritated Hannah. And it irritated Hannah because it reminded her of a posture that she gave up. It reminded her of what she abandoned. An impure and unfaithful to her husband. Now, I'm not going to surmise. I am not going to try to put in place what the text does not say, but we're going to extrapolate because Peninnah shouldn't even be here. Hannah, if you were operating in your function, you wouldn't need to worry about a Peninnah. Peninnah was brought in to fulfill your vow. And Hannah, you're barren and you're upset because what you are anguishing over, what you're crying about, what you're weeping over, what you are travailing to God about comes effortlessly to Peninnah. That same Peninnah that irritates you, that same Peninnah that runs her mouth. And she's probably running her mouth because she shouldn't be here. Like, I'm carrying your purpose when I have a purpose of my own. So therefore, the weight is disproportionate. And it makes me bitter and it makes me angry because I am carrying a load that should be equal. Hannah, your womb is barren. You have moved away from your first love. You have abandoned what he was trying to birth in you. You aborted purpose. We're Hannah. We're Hannah. Because we come before the Lord. We lift up praise, we lift up songs, we operate in auxiliaries, we play our minstrels, we organize our events, but we keep skipping over why we aren't producing. We keep skipping over why there our womb is empty. And so we watch Peninnah. We watch Peninnah through our timeline. The Lord give us an idea. The Lord plant a seed in us, and therefore we don't bring that seed to full term. So therefore he finds a Peninnah, and that same unique idea, that same unique seed you see him being manifested by another person's hands, claiming your blessing that should be on you. But see, God will always have a remnant. He will always have a remnant. So don't get it twisted. There is still 3,000 that haven't bent the knee to Baal. If you won't fulfill his word, he will find someone who have already said yes, who has already gone through the birthing process, and they will claim what should have had your name on it. So therefore, ideas that we have and strategies, they just fall. God gave me this great business. This seems great. I'm going to do A, B, and C. Oh, this is going to be good. I don't see nothing in the market for this. So therefore, I'm going to fulfill a need, and it's going to make me a millionaire in a year. But it never comes about. And then in a dispensation of time, you see someone else with that same idea. And now you salty because you see someone else doing what you should have done. That you have negated this birthing process. What God was trying to birth in you. And the birthing process is spiritual. Everything God does is spiritual in nature. He's trying to get you to birth a spiritual baby. And so you upset and you can't even celebrate them. Because now you're nitpicking. Oh, I could have done that better. Oh, I could have done this. Oh, I was going to do this. Oh, they ain't got it right. And what God is trying to highlight to you is that it's your heart. It's your heart. It's your heart. It's your heart. It's your, I closed up your womb because of your heart. A heart that is not fully surrendered unto me. A heart that's not fully postured to me. A heart that has not been fully given over to me. You sing all the songs, you lift up your hands, and you shout from the top of your lungs, but your heart is to another. Yet you want, yet you look for, yet you cry for blessings and manifestation, and you haven't even done what he has put in your hands. Always searching for a word, but see, there's no egg for the seed to germinate. He closed up your womb. And he's giving it over to another. Your heart is postured towards your own ideas, towards your own way, towards your own imagination. And you didn't even ask me if it was okay. You didn't even ask me if that's something that I want for you. Because I will give you the desires of your heart. Not you tell me your desires. Because if I give you the desires of your heart in the process of me transforming you, you will want what I want. So the desires of your heart is the desire that I've already implanted in you. So you are repeating back to me a word that I have already spoken to you. Your heart becomes prideful. Pride is insidious. Pride, it was like the first sin. It was by pride that Satan, Lucifer, fell. Pride is making plans for tomorrow. He said, tomorrow will take care of itself. But we make plans for tomorrow. We've been conditioned to make plans. We've been conditioned to have a strategy. Nothing wrong with having a strategy. But in all your planning for tomorrow, you don't even go to God and say, what should I do tomorrow? How should I plant my feet? What is the path for tomorrow? We just make the plan, we execute the plan, and we leave God on the sidelines. And we come back to him on Sunday, we come back to him on Wednesday, we come back to him when we need. And God is ringing an alarm, trying to let you know that your womb has been closed. I, the Lord, search your heart. I'm the only one that can search your heart. The devil doesn't know nothing about your heart. I search your heart, and I give you according to what's in it. Your womb is barren, Hannah. You have abandoned your husband. Your husband who's to provide for you. Your husband who is supposed to guide you. Your husband who is supposed to protect you. Your husband who is supposed to provide protection for you. The Lord is your husband. And you have abandoned him. But you come back with your hand out. And God says, I have more for you, but the more that I have must come through your womb. And if you don't recognize that your womb is barren, then you cannot manifest. And he wants to heal the womb. He wants you to birth what he has placed in you. So the Lord sends a Peninnah who has what you should have produced if you were properly postured and positioned. But the one thing about this scripture that's amazing, it says, then Hannah stood up. Then Hannah stood up. The same stood up that the prodigal son had when he came to himself. Hannah stood up, and then Hannah made a vow. Lord, if you would just remember me, I realized that it was me. I realized that it was by my hand that my womb was closed. But God, I'm making a vow to you now. Remember me. I'm going to turn away from every little thing that easily besets me. I'm going to let go of everything that is not you, because all I want is you. All I desire is you. So therefore, I'm going to run after you. Hannah stood up. Hannah said, no more. This is the line in the sand that I have drawn. I have been angry long enough. I have been sad long enough. I have been bitter in my soul long enough. It's over. Hannah stood up. Hannah said, I won't abort purpose anymore. She realized that she was unfaithful. She made a vow. It says in Psalms 50 and 14, sacrifice thanksgiving to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you and you will honor me. Hannah made a vow. This vow, God, I'm going to keep. This vow I'm going to keep. Father, if you place it back in me, I'm going to bring it to full term. And I'm not just going to bring it to full term. Whatever is birthed in me is yours. I don't even want it for myself. I just need to break the curse. I just need to undo it. I just need to course correct. So God, I'm making a vow to you now. Remember me, oh God. I'll keep my womb clean. I'll keep the conditions of a healthy birth. All my plans I relinquish. All my desires for my life I let go. I abandon what I ran after and I come back to you. Every idol that I have erected in my heart, I tear down. God, I am making a vow to you, because I must produce fruit. I must give birth. Every fiber in my being is speaking to birth, but I'm not birthing, oh God. Undo the curse. Correct, oh God. Remember me. I'll stay on this course. I'll stay on the potter's wheel. I won't move. I know it's going to get uncomfortable. When you're pregnant, it's uncomfortable. There are stages of uncomfortability. Biologically, when a woman becomes pregnant, the body makes room for the womb. So there's going to be times of uncomfortability. There's going to be times where individuals and processes that you have already put in place is going to be moved out of its place to make room for the womb. The womb is going to change you. It's going to transform you. You will not be the same since before the birth and after the birth. And that is the whole process. That is the whole goal, is to transform you and to make you into the image of Christ. And he does that through the womb. We entered the world through the womb. We're in the world. We're in a form of a womb just to be birthed out into glory when we're face to face with Jesus. It's all about a womb. And he wants your womb to be clean. He wants you to give birth. So therefore, I appreciate you, Peninnah. I appreciate you because you have reminded me of what I've let go. You have reminded me of what I abandoned. Your fertility reminded me of my spiritual abortion. So I thank you, Peninnah, in all your running of your mouth. I thank you because you have brought me to a place of correction. You have brought me into a place of realization. You have brought me into a place of illumination. I have identified the problem. Now I can course correct. Now I can shift. Now I can position myself. Now I can posture myself correctly. And because I have gone so long without it, I'm going to make sure that when I have it, I won't let it go. Can't nothing stop me. Can nothing shift my focus. Can nothing get me off the course. Because it's my time to give birth. It is my time to birth. It is my time to produce. So I thank you, Peninnah. I was able to sit in the grief of my affliction and my pain. And it was from my affliction that I was able to revere the Lord. It says in 2 Chronicles 6:29, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people Israel, being aware of their afflictions and pain, the King James Version states grief and sorrow, and spreading out their hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Forgive and deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their heart, for you alone knows the human heart, so that they will fear you and walk in obedience to you all the time they live in the land you gave your ancestors. God is putting a spotlight on our hearts. Our hearts. Because the expansion that was spoken to us 2 weeks ago, that expansion starts here. It has to expand here. Then it will expand here. So we must give birth individually and as a ministry. We must give birth. But there is still time. There is still time to course correct. Because it doesn't matter how many sons Peninnah had, Peninnah didn't give birth to Samuel. God is trying to birth a Samuel. This is why he shut up your womb. This is why you couldn't give birth, because Samuel is needed. Samuel is prophetic. Samuel is a deliverer. Samuel is a judge. God is trying to birth something prophetic to you through you. God is trying to birth a judgment on others too, through you. God is trying to birth deliverance because Samuel breaks the curse. After Samuel is born, the Lord restores Hannah's womb. Then Hannah had sons and daughters. God is trying to birth Samuel. Samuel vacates the judgment. God is going to use your womb to deliver his people, to counsel his people, to be a sign for his people. And through the birthing process, it is vicariously humbling you. Because once he's able to birth what he has originally planted in you, then you become fertile. Fertile ground. Fertile ground to birth more. Because he trusts you now. You're going to take it through to full term. Doesn't matter how long it takes.
Full term is normally 9 months in the natural, but we don't know how long it's going to be in the spiritual. It could be 1 month. It could be 2 months. It could be 12 months. But God, no matter how long it takes, I don't care how much pain is in this body. I don't care what's going on, oh God. I'm going to make sure that this baby is healthy. And then I'm going to wean myself from the baby because it doesn't belong to me. God is trying to birth Samuel. It says in Isaiah 54, 6 through 8, the Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. A wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. The revelation that God has is that there's still time. Peninnah is the fire alarm in the building, letting you know that it's time to course correct. It's okay that Peninnah irritates you. It will be a problem if Peninnah didn't irritate you, because that means you became comfortable in your infertility. That denotes a reprobated mind. You are beyond the point of return. So Peninnah is the alarm. Peninnah's manifestation is the alarm, saying that it should have been you, but my word will still be fulfilled. Whether it comes through your womb or it's going to come through someone else, my word will not return to me void. But I chose you because Samuel must come through your womb. Samuel is not supposed to be birthed through Peninnah. It's supposed to be birthed through you. So this message is course correction. And I'm done. This message is course correction. This message is to illuminate you on the issue. Why I can't produce. Why does everything that I start out with fail? Fall to pieces, doesn't manifest. I had all the individuals at the table, but one by one they left. And here I am at the table by myself. Just to see someone else take up the vision. Take up the seed and bring it to full term. And the Lord is saying, I shut up your womb for a reason. And it's because of your heart. I need your heart to be postured to me. I need you to be fully surrendered, because like I said, there is always a remnant. He always have individuals, though you may not see them on a TV screen, though you may not see them on the live stream. There is someone who has postured themselves correctly and said, God, I will go if you send me. I will speak if you give me the word. Every bit of me is surrendered unto you. And God said, that is the ingredient that I need. So I can manifest in this earth realm. I need a body. I need a body. I need a body that says yes to me because I'm spiritual. So I need a body. I need someone that says yes. I need your hands. I need your mouth. I need your feet. I need your ears. I need your eyes. I present my body a living sacrifice. My body. Holy and acceptable unto you. He says, I need a body. I need you. I need you. This is why I shut up your womb. That maybe in the midst of your infertility, you will turn to me. But God still provided. Gave her double portions. But Hannah wasn't satisfied because Hannah knew that she was supposed to give birth. He said it's with through his goodness that he brings one unto repentance. So God is trying to course correct. He is trying to shift the mind. He is trying to shift you so that we can make a vow that God, if you will remember me, if you will give me back the seed, if you will implant it in me again, I'm going to bring it to full term. I'm going to feed it with spiritual things. I'm going to shut out my ears to everything that is a negative judgment to the seed that you have given me. And I'm going to give it back to you, oh God. I want what you have for me, oh God. But whatever you give me that I birth, I give it to you, oh God. I just want to know that this curse was broken. I want to know that this judgment was vacated from me. So I'm going to bring it to full term. So that means deleting people out of your phone. That means deleting people off your social media. That means probably deleting social media. Because I need to have a clean birth. This birthing process is supposed to transform me. That is the intent, is to transform you, because the transformation is starting on the inside. Your organs is making room for the womb. It's a transformation. And like I said, there will be moments of uncomfortability. Your birthing process will not look like what you think, because it's transforming you. So things will bubble to the surface. It is bubbling to the surface for a reason, so that it can come out, so that you can identify it, so that you can lay it on the altar and admit, God, I am this way. God, I do this thing, but I don't want to do it no more. Take it. Take all of it. Because I don't want it no more. Shine your light on the areas that may be darkened or hidden, so that whatever you reveal, I can lay it at your altar. Because it's my time to give birth. Giving birth is not feminine. It's not masculine. It's spiritual. We must give birth. We must produce. So when Jesus comes back, and he's still coming back, though it's not preached about on social media, you don't see it a lot, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and he will examine the womb. What have you done with the time I've given you? What have you produced? God, I did this in your name. I did that in your name. I cast out devils. I healed the sick. Yeah. That's what my name does. What did you give birth? Show me the receipts. We must give birth. This is the time to make this vow. God, it was my heart. I didn't know, but I know now. It was my heart. I thought I fully surrendered it unto you, but when I really think about it, I was planning my own life. And I was planning my own life before I met you. Then I met you and continued on planning my life as if you did not finish your work. So I make a vow to you now that I don't want nothing in between you and me, because this relationship is all about you and me, because I want what you want and you want souls. You want souls. so God, course correct. My heart may be broken, oh God, but heal my broken heart so I can fully surrender it unto you. Provide to me a level of understanding, because understanding does not excuse the violation. It helps you place it where it needs to be placed. Provide me understanding for my broken heart, God, because I don't want my heart to be broken. I don't want to grieve no more. I want my heart to be fully, fully, fully devoted unto you. So whatever I have to do, whatever I need to do, if you give me the seed again, if you implant it in me again, Father, I vow to you that I'm going to bring it to full term. I don't care how long this birthing process takes. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. I don't care what reveals itself. I don't care what shifts out of my life. All I care about, oh God, is bringing this seed to full manifestation. Let us stand. Individually, we're going to pray. Because this is not my vow. I can't vow for you. You must vow for yourself. So the opportunity has been presented to you with the revelation that has been given to you. What are you going to do? Will you make the vow? Will you confess, God, that it has been my heart? I haven't fully vested it in you. I haven't fully invested in this spiritual walk, oh God. It's been my heart. My heart has been shifted towards another. I admit it, oh God. This is not about shame. This is about this is not about condemnation. This is about confession. I did it. I won't do it again. So with your own mouth, with your own mouth, make your vow. With your own mouth, make your vow. It's a bit quiet in here, but I'm only here to deliver the message. Make your vow to God. That God, I'm going to bring what you give me to full term. This birthing process, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to stay in it. I don't care how hot the oven is, I'm going to stay in it. I don't care how of a whirlwind this potter wheel is, I'm going to stay on it until I have been fully perfected, until I reflect you, oh God. So I'm vowing to you now that I am turning away from the course that I was on and planting my feet on the course that you have intended since the foundation of the world, since before I was in my mother's womb. You had a plan for my life. So I'm vowing to you now, oh God, that I'm going to fulfill your plan with my own hands, with my own womb, with my own mouth, with my own mind, with my own soul. So I give it all. That's why that song is so prophetic. I give it all unto you, oh God. All of it. All of it. All the shame, all of it. I don't care how nasty it was. I'm giving it all to you. I don't care what I did within my past. I give it all unto you. My past does not dictate my future, and it doesn't dictate my present. So I give it all unto you. The pain, the hurt, the afflictions, the suffering. I give it all unto you, O God. And I'm shifting. I'm shifting. I'm shifting. This is the shift. This is the shift. Because you said you would enlarge my territory. And you cannot enlarge what I don't give birth to. Make that vow. Make that vow. Make that vow. Make that vow. Make the vow. Make the vow. Make the vow. Hannah made the vow with her mouth. She made the vow with her mouth. I'm going to stay this course, and I'm going to give birth. I'm going to give birth, oh God. I'm going to give birth. Jesus, you're coming back for a womb. You're coming back for a womb. You're coming back for a womb. And you're on the way. You are on the way. So I must get my work done now. While it is still day. For when night cometh, no man can work. So I must get my work done. I must give birth. I must produce. Because it's more that you have for me. The life that I'm living is not the end. It's not the end all be all. It's temporary and it's momentary, but it's all dependent upon your womb and your vow. So, Father, I vow to you now. 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 I vow to you now. Now is prophetic. Today, this day, this moment, this is my oath to you. And it shall happen. It shall come to pass because I'm going to make sure that it does. Whatever that's in my path, I'm going to remove it. I'm going to make room for the womb in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm making room, God. I'm making room, God. I'm making room. Shift what needs to be shifted. I don't care how heavy it is. I don't care what it's attached to. It's bringing pain and barrenness. It got to go. So I bless you, God. Today is the beginning of days, because today is the day you made a vow, and you will fulfill your vow. You must fulfill your vow. God honors oaths, and he reveres your vows. So if you make a vow, don't break it. If you make an oath, fulfill it. Because God made an oath to us. God made a covenant to us. He made a vow to us. And he doesn't renege on his vows. He doesn't violate his vows. He doesn't violate his oaths or covenants. So he has that same expectation from you. If you said it, do it. Period. That's integrity. If you said it, do it. And he will help you do it. He will help you do it. He'll help you do it. He's not caught up on the stumbles. He's not caught up when you trip. He's not even caught up when you fall. Because when you fall, he's looking to see if you will get up. He's looking to see if you will get up, dust yourself off, and get back on the course. Because I got to give birth. And sometimes the birthing process includes the fall. The fall is calculated. The fall is a part of the process. He's already foreseen it. And he took measures in place. so that you will get back up and stay this course, because I'm going to birth what you give me. If you call me a prophet, I'm going to be birthed out into that. If you call me an evangelist, I'm going to be birthed out into that. If you said I had gifts of healing, I'm going to birth out into that. So whatever you have to do, it's okay with me, because I honor my vow to you. And I thank you, God, for correcting our course. I thank you, oh God, because your prophetic word for expansion still exists. It still exists. It's still in the works. But like I said, the expansion starts here, so that it can start here, in here. So with uplifted hands, can we worship our God for a revelation? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank you, God. Because while I was on my own route, while I was doing my own thing, while I was yet in the wilderness and in the desert, out of nowhere a light shined, and it knocked me off my horse. And you've given me the opportunity, oh God, and you have revealed what the error was. You have revealed, oh God, what wasn't functioning. And I admit and confess that it was my heart. But I don't want my heart to be against you anymore. I don't want my heart to be postured toward anything else. I want my heart to be postured toward you. So I thank you, oh God, for the alarm bell. I thank you, oh God, for the fire alarm. I thank you, oh God, for the flashing light, oh God, for it helped me reposition. It helped me to get my footing. So I glorify your name. And the vow that I give to you now, oh God, I will fulfill it. I will be holy. For you said, be holy. I understand that holiness is not what I do, but it's a designation from you. I will get in my word. I will devote time unto you, so I can feed what's growing in this womb, so I can give it the nutrition that it needs, so that when it is up to full term and I give birth and I push, the baby will be healthy. The baby will be ready. The baby will be ripe. So I'm going to feed it. My devotion to you is going to increase. I'm going to make time for you. I'm going to make time for you. And the time that I make for you is for you alone. Nothing else will interfere. Father, I understand that the enemy is going to try his best to make a lot of interference and disruptions to the time that I devote to you. But those I will not entertain, because my time to you is for you alone. Because I vowed that time to you. Thank you, oh God. Because you take good care of us. You don't want to see us fail. You don't want to see us falter. And I bless your name, oh God. You are great God. You are mighty God. And I thank you. Come on, lift up your hands and bless the name of the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. It will be remiss of me if I did not leave the altar open for those who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He's a good, good God. He is a good, good God. If you haven't received the Lord, and this is for our connected community, just make this confession right where you are. That God, I am aware of my state. And I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus came wrapped in flesh, God in flesh, and that he walked among us, and that he took on my sins so that I might have life, and that more abundantly. I believe that he rose. I believe that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father in power. I believe that he's coming back for me to sit with him, to sup with him. I declare Jesus to be my Lord. I declare Jesus to be my King and no other. And I receive you with open arms. And I thank you for receiving me. If you had said that confession, you are part of the number. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now the work begins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I bless you, God. I thank you. He's a good God, isn't he? He's a good, good God, isn't he? He's a real good God, isn't he? Oh, come on. He's a real, real good God. He's the best thing we ever had. The best thing we ever had. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Come on. Let's give him praise. Babies that are coming forth. Hallelujah. Those things that we are giving birth to and that we're making room. Hallelujah. And as Brother Monte was talking about the making room, I said, you got to cast fear out. Because I got some stuff that I need to be doing too. It hit me too. That word hit me too. I got some stuff I got to get it. But I got to cast that fear out. Cast that doubt out. Cast those insecurities out. Make room for that baby, saints. Make room for those babies. Hallelujah for those things that God is going to give birth to in this hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give God praise one more time for the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, right now, we're going to take our offering and the ways to give for our connected community. The ways of, to give are on the should be on the broadcast. And if you have an offering, you can prepare it now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.